Carol G and Forte, Jim Messier are here. We're talking about things from the 50s, 60s, and today, part three of the dangers that we grew up with that we didn't even know were dangerous. I mean, nobody told us. We were victims, innocent victims. waiting to be victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, from chemistry sets to all these horrible things we didn't know about.
We didn't realize. Yeah.
My parents, who were so careful with me and my brother, so careful, got my brother a chemistry set for Christmas. And it was, you remember the chemistry sets? They opened up and they had all these chemicals. You mix them and you make some kind of...
Gilbert chemistry sets.
Oh, they're just horrible things you can make with these chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
And they had one little thing, was a radioactive little thing, and you get to put it to your eye to see the radioactive disc. What were we thinking? Radioactivity. And it was really radioactive.
We'll be talking about that with shoe x-rays when you went to the shoe store.
I didn't have that, but I heard about them.
Yeah.
We didn't have the shoe x-ray machines.
We had feet x-rays going on here.
Yeah, I didn't have that. We went to Stride Right Shoes. He just brought out that big thing you stick your foot in.
Right.
Jammed it down on your toes. Crushed your big toe, whatever they were. Said, all right, this should fit. Then when the shoe didn't fit, he said, give it to me. He brought it to the back room for the shoe stretcher, which is more than a broom handle. He would run it on the broom handle and come back here. It's all ready for you. And of course, it hurt, and you had big calluses and big rips on the back of your feet for the first 3 weeks.
That's right.
That was growing up.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this. This is part three to dangers growing up in the 50s, 60s, not only just in Racine, but everywhere, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Don. We had so many dangerous situations back then. We're even going to do a part four. There's just too many to talk about. So anyway, thanks for having us here. Carol, what are we going to start
with? Well, as you say, Jim, we are concentrating anytime we're together on pleasant memories.
Mm-hmm.
But we are touching on all these dangers that, you know, might make us say, well, is that pleasant? But now we have to say most were not life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to say that we're survivors. Do we realize today what survivors we are? I mean, let's give us a big applause. I mean, we are survivors.
Yeah, I got a pin I wear. It says, I'm a survivor of the 50s.
That's a good one. Yes, we've covered things already, like the secondhand smoke that we survived. You or Don said you would even be a kid getting examined in the doctor's office. Well, the doctor was
Dr. Thierman, he used to, while he's examining, he had the stethoscope on. He's puffing the cigarette and blowing it to the side, but it's going all over your face. You're sucking it in.
Yeah, think of this.
And
we were so innocent.
Got nicotine all over your clothes because he was blowing that smoke
ashes
at me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my parents had parties in that, so the neighbors, they used to come over. They had once a month, somebody said, it was like London in the fog in that. The next morning, all those little ashtrays, we had the Silent Butler ashtray. Packed with cigarette butts.
Sure.
And everything stunky. Everything had nicotine yellow all over it.
Oh,
airplanes where you worked in offices secondhand, the smoke just filling the air.
The quick cigarette story. So two radio stations. One I worked at in Milwaukee. The walls were white. It was like a white type of carpeting or something they used for, you know, sound. And we moved. We moved from Capitol Drive down to downtown Milwaukee. When they pulled the tables back, I couldn't believe how brown the walls were with nicotine because they allowed smoking.
Yeah.
And my first station, we had a microphone like we do in the lobby here, that ribbon microphone. And the program director used to and blow it right through the microphone. And it was the whole thing was yellow and brown. It was disgusting.
So, Don, I suggest you have a lung x-ray one of these days.
Yeah, I never smoked a cigarette in my life, but I probably got lung cancer from everybody else.
The secondhand smoke that you survived in your profession.
Well, I don't know if I survived it yet. When they do the autopsy, I'll let you know.
We'll be waiting to find out.
That's going to be under 10 years if you can't stand on your leg for ten seconds.
Yeah, Jim and I can do it. Carol stood on the leg. She was there for a half hour on one leg, and I couldn't do it for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
We learn a lot of things from you, Dad, including life expectancy tables. Well, today, one way we've organized this, because we just can't stop these dangers, is to think about age groups. And I want to start us off with our early childhoods, like babies. So dangers. Well, of course, we have to think about our cribs. So let's go back and picture the cribs that we had. Now, of course, the distance of the slats. We understand that's crucial. But I'll say that in my deep research, I'd research, you know, some of my talks here. Maybe, you know, you don't quite realize how far I go with this. But the biggest danger of these cribs had been that the drop-down crib. And that left a space, I understand, between the mattress and the frame of the crib for a child to become stuck in that. Now, I learned, and of course they were painted with lead paint almost always. Lo and behold, in this extensive research, I found that it took until 1972, so we were high school graduates by that time, for the Federal Commission to be formed on product safety. So we didn't have the benefit of the Product Safety Commission. And just to show you in retrospect, I was shocked at this. Because of that commission, between 2000 and 2008, there were 500,000 cribs recalled. And that brand mainly was the Stork Craft, which was sold at all of our reliable stores. So can you imagine? We didn't have the benefit of that. Then we think of high chairs. Now, many of us inherited an old wooden high chair and without straps and all. But the thing about high chairs is tipping over. And so would you believe that in 2010, so again, just to prove what were we enduring, how do you say it, Graco or Graco? Graco brand? Graco brand? Mm-hmm. Over 1 million high chairs were recalled in 2010. So we survived. We survived the high chair.
How about those mobile things above the bed, the crib?
Oh, yeah.
They had hooked on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of the comedians we have here said, you ever see that thing when I was a kid? I said, look up. And he say, oh, yeah, it's coming down. I mean, that thing could have come and crashed right on your baby's head, those mobile things. Yeah. Do they have those anymore, those mobile things?
I think they do.
Yeah.
They must be approved by the federal.
I mean, they were just kind of flimsy, hooked on with like a little turn screw on the side of the bed. Mm-hmm. And that thing, and they try to hit them. Little babies try to hit the things, comes crashing down on them. And,
Well, and to continue on with this saga, we all were going to read and be brilliant, so we had our alphabet blocks. They were painted in lead paint. And, of course, being wood, they had splinters. Now, just think, we survived our blocks. Jim, do you remember any problem with your blocks?
He got hit in the head with them a few times.
I did. Yeah, my sister threw them at me.
That's what happened with
the
block.
You didn't know this was the letter A?
They were
now it's imprinted on your forehead.
Missiles.
You'll never forget it.
Yes.
We're talking to Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte. The dangers of growing up in the 50s and 60s, things you never even thought about. Your life was in danger, and you just went about your day happy and go lucky, and you never even realized what was lurking all around you.
Yes.
And we talked about being a baby in the crib. Who knew what was going on in that crib?
That we needed a federal commission eventually on product safety. Well, also like cap, the packaging of medicine and caps, that took until 1970, I found, to have the Poison Prevention Packaging Act. Have you ever heard of that?
No,
the
but I know when I remember when they had to make it childproof,
Yep, 1970, so we had to live before that. Well, Jim, I'd say you boys, though, had in general, had you had your own set of dangers.
Oh, yeah. The one I remember, Carol, was jarts. Remember jarts, the long darts? They had actually a big metal tip on that large dart, and you would aim for a circle, plastic circle, and there would be kids or adults standing right next to that circle. And here's incoming missiles, missing them probably by inches. And they were laughing and, hey, good job, you know. that was unbelievable.
Did you have a set or two?
Oh, absolutely. We played that constantly.
No eyes taken out or anything.
Yeah,
no eyes.
No, that was for BB guns. We'll get into that.
We're going to get to that one.
Okay. Riding bikes without helmets. Mm-hmm. No one ever thought to wear one back then.
We had this area where I was growing up. Now it became a shopping mall, but before that it was an empty, we called it the pit. It was real deep, and you could ride your bike down the sides of these, but it was very steep. We used to ride the bike, no knee pads, no helmets, no, And the bike would flip over. You're rolling down the hill with a bike hitting you and everything. Yeah. And you just got up and said, oh, let me try it again.
Yeah. Brush yourself off.
So generally, these dangers were not life-threatening, but a few broken bones or a slight concussion.
I keep remembering, how did I... This bike, it was going down at like a straight angle, straight down this.
Yeah.
And you just hopefully didn't skid and have the thing hit you in the head going down.
And you know, we've got some great hills here in Racine.
Yep.
Down the McKinley Hill as fast as possible, down the St. Patrick's Hill.
Well, the good part is it was mostly like a sand type of when you got to the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. It was dirt, but it was very sandy.
It wasn't concrete.
Yeah. No, it wasn't concrete. No, we were that stupid.
Yeah, a lot of times.
You could have been, though, elsewhere.
Yeah, a lot of times we would ride our bike with no hands on the hand.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, if you got hurt, what's the first thing you heard? Don't tell your mother. You're walking with an arm dangling by the elbow, blood pouring out of your ear. Don't tell your mother.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get all kinds of mercurochrome on it.
Yeah.
Another safety hazard.
Yep. Don't tell mom.
Yep. And like Don said, riding your bike down a steep hill, sometimes with no hands.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that joke going around? Kid would go around the block and, hey, look, mom, no hands. Next time he goes around the block, look, mom, no feet.
Oh.
Next time, look, mom, no teeth. Remember that one?
Oh, that's funny.
Of course, we had firecrackers back then, M80s, cherry bombs, bottle rockets. They seemed to be more common back then. I know I got mine when I was in the Scout Drum and Bugle Corps. We would travel throughout the Midwest. And a lot of times these cities would allow us to buy these things, and I would load up my suitcase with them, bring them back, and blow them off every chance I could.
And we used to buy, they called them mats. That was like a 24-pack of firecrackers.
Oh, yes.
The mats, they used to call them.
Right.
And just buy them. Kids on the streets selling them.
Yeah.
So we used to buy them, shoot them off, and the day after the 4th of July, it was called dud hunting.
He used to go
through the streets looking for the duds that
if
you shot off 24 firecrackers, maybe some blew away. And
that's right.
So we used to go dud hunting looking for them.
That's right.
And one day, we're lighting them up, and I'm covering my ears, and I didn't know it was lit.
Oh.
And
oh,
I quick looked down, and my fingers blew apart.
Oh,
and
I
thought, but it was just like a numbing sting.
Oh. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I never, ever, ever picked up another firecracker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good
it scared
to
me.
You.
Yeah, it scared me.
Yeah. You were...
Back
saved.
Then, a lot of us boys would become blood brothers.
This sounds terrible to me, Jim. We talked about this.
I know we watched too many Westerns, I think, but that would denote loyalty and friendship. You'd make a small cut on your finger with a knife, and then you press your fingers together, and you'd be a blood brother for life.
Yeah, and you get tuberculosis.
Yeah,
you get
everything that goes along with it.
Plague, you get everything from that.
Oh, my God.
And let's talk about the Washington Park.
Yeah. Right in our own territory, our beautiful Washington Park.
Wait, before you
area.
Get to Washington Park, you actually cut your hand and rub the blood together with your friend?
Oh, slit it. Yeah, rub it together like this. Just like in the movies, the Westerns.
Yeah, there were a lot of things in the Westerns I didn't do. That was one of them.
Jim, approximately what age were you when you were doing this?
Oh, I don't know, probably,
wasn't 18 or 19.
Yeah, right.
30.
Yeah.
Last week sometime.
At your bachelor party.
Yeah.
Rummett is next door neighbor. We're neighbors from blood.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, this is really like a list of the dangers that we were encountering, which was in our beautiful Washington Park area. We've talked before about our Washington Park pool. We were all there. The goal was to get good enough to swim to the island. And when we have given programs, Jim, and found pictures of people, kids on the island, at the top of the island, we said, well, there must have been 50 kids just jammed in up there, ready to fall off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, of course, then the dives would start.
Yep.
Just diving
with
right
people
down.
People below you.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Right. Missiles
That's
coming through the air.
Yeah.
Look out, here I come.
Yeah. Ready or not, here I come.
Talk about non-safety.
Oh, yeah.
How about the winter?
The toboggan slide, which is long gone. That one, you get a lot of scraped knees.
Where was that?
Right, the
Washington Park Bowl area.
Yeah, Washington Park, across from the old Capitol Theater.
Okay.
It had the cement sides. So if your knees were sticking out, you didn't know it, but when you come down to the bottom of the hill, you have a very scraped knee or a hole in your knee or whatever. You didn't realize it until you got home.
You know, last night I had to go to Gateway. because for the pre-parade thing, we had a meeting for the 4th of July parade from 4th Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And right in front of me was the skateboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know how these kids don't get hurt.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're
yeah.
going, there's like multiple going crisscrossing each yeah. other, going yeah. doing yeah. circles in the skateboard park.
That's right.
When you do a show about the year 2026, the dangers, that'll
yeah,
be it.
That's yeah, that's going to be it.
Right.
Yeah, we'll
they
start taking notes now.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah. No one's yeah. getting hurt, but yeah. just, yeah. I'm right. looking and saying,
yeah.
Well, I think everyone knew that Washington Park, that toboggan was super scary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a scar to prove it that I was there at one time.
Is another, that what's on the back of your head there or what?
No, my knee. Another thing that us guys did for fun, which was considered dangerous, was BB guns. We would shoot at anything and everything. And I got mine for Christmas. It was a Daisy BB gun. And, you know, you couldn't really shoot outside. It was just too cold for around Christmas. So what I did, I found a cardboard box in the basement, and like any other kid, I drew a big circle on it, a big target, and I was blasting away at that thing probably for about 2 months until spring. One day, I heard my mom give out this shriek and a yell, and I run downstairs. There was this priceless mirror inside that, that cardboard,
which
she got from her mother, blown to pieces.
Jim.
And I had no clue about that. Jim. I just was shooting at a target.
First of all, I thought it was a good idea. You're shooting inside a box. You save the BBs. They don't go all over. I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were too stupid to know there was a mirror.
I'm glad it was your Aunt Ethel hiding behind the box.
I know it, yeah. But we had plenty of BB gun fights as kids. Oh. And what's the one thing your parents would always warn you about? You're going to shoot your eye out. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh.
And we had playgrounds.
Yes.
Well, before you start the next topic, did you ever see the Andy Griffith Show episode where Opie
the
bird?
Kills the bird.
With the slingshot.
Yep.
And I never killed an animal. I would never do anything like that. But the kid used to aim their guns at these birds and try to shoot them.
Oh, boy.
For no reason. And the cats running by, they'd shoot at the cats.
Yeah.
You can't try. They don't sell BB guns for kids anymore, do they?
I don't know.
I don't think any parent would buy it for them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
My mother wouldn't do it. She wouldn't let me get. She wouldn't let me get in trouble. She could put me in a cocoon. We are talking to Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte, and we're talking about the dangers of growing up in the 50s and 60s everywhere, not just Racine, and dangers we didn't know even existed. And here we are.
We were so innocent.
Mm-hmm. How did I ever survive?
Yes, we are survivors.
With that, I guess that little tick I have, you know.
The arm that broke but was never set because you didn't tell your mother.
There is one time we used to make these go-karts. Like they were motor. They had no motor on them. But you have to push them with a stick.
Oh, sure.
And my brother put me in the go-kart. I was about eight, 9 years old. Put me in the go-kart. Not strapped in, by the way. You're just sitting on a plank of wood and you can steer it with your feet. You know, as you go down the hill, and we race somebody down the hill. And down the hill was a curb. You had a quick turn. Well, I quick turned, the thing flipped and ripped open the whole side of my leg. To this day, my whole side of the leg is scarred.
Oh.
And I went home crying, screaming. I didn't get in trouble. My brother got in trouble for letting me do it. Yeah. My mother, how did you let him do this? I was fine. But he got
that
screamed
poor
at.
Brother.
Yeah. He got screamed.
He still remembers. Yeah.
He was six years older than me. He should have known better.
Yeah.
Pushing his baby brother down the hill in this unstrapped piece of wood.
He wanted to be an only child. It's obvious.
Yeah, get rid of you.
Man, now you got to wear helmet straps. We just went down there, hit your head on the curb. Get up and stop crying like a baby. But my brains are coming out. Put him back in.
And don't tell your mother.
Yeah, don't tell mom. Go ahead.
Well, all around Racine, Jim, we loved our playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they were so great. I mean, in the park, some with pavilions, some with park leaders for activities. But now we're talking about our actual equipment that was on those playgrounds. And when you and I were talking about it, well, we did not have those beautiful rubber-type current locked together, beautiful, cushy surfaces of our playgrounds. Mm-hmm. We had hard dirt, or we had asphalt or concrete is what we had. So anything that if you fell off of a swing or was flung off the merry-go-rounds, it was onto a very hard, unforgiving surface.
Yeah, just call the janitor out at school. Come on, mop up the blood. We got another class coming out.
Yeah, there's nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Hose it down. Let's go.
Oh, and what about now? Did a lot of guys do the monkey bars, or was that more for us girls?
I think it was mostly for us guys.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was easy to fall off of, and if you were on a high level, you would fall and hit some other bars of the monkey
bars. You hang
bars
by your feet upside down.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
when you tried to reach to get yourself straightened, you'd fall, ding, 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 go right to the bottom. And the teacher, who was monitoring the playground, sitting there smoking, you know, paying no attention. I mean, you just fell down, yeah. you're crying. Come on, get
yeah,
up.
That's uh-huh. right. Yeah, uh-huh. that's right. Remember those hot metal slides, Carol?
Yes. Yeah. The merry-go-round and the slides were very hot.
Oh,
you know?
Geez, yeah.
Now, when I've been doing my research on this, I would look up on Google, were high chairs dangerous in the 1950s? And I put down, like, were playground merry-go-rounds dangerous in the 1950s? And they must have known that we were doing this program because these write-ups fell right in with us, Jim. And what they said about the merry-go-round, it was called the murder-go-round. Very extremely mm-hmm. dangerous. The hard surfaces that you were flung onto and the jumping on and off, how yeah. dangerous it was.
We had one at the drive-in theater. They had a playground at the drive-in.
Sure, yeah.
And used to, one, you get some of the big guys are there, push it around. All the kids are in the middle.
Yeah.
And they're hanging out with you. And this thing's going faster and faster. You mm-hmm. jump on, yeah. mm-hmm. and the kids start flying off like
right.
ping-pong
right.
balls
right.
all
yeah.
over the
right.
place.
Right, right.
Like
right.
little lotto balls flying in all directions. And then you had to, come on, it's time to watch the movie, and you're limping back.
Oh, so innocent, but boy, were we victims.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the one that was really a bump, so to speak.
Oh, the teeter-totter. Or did you call them seesaws? What did you call them, Don?
Seesaw.
Seesaw.
Oh, really? I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes it would get violent. If you didn't like a kid, he was on the other end, dangling way up there, and you're on the bottom, you just get off.
Or you get
bang.
The big fat kid who pumps on you. The guy goes flying in the air like, you know, right off the...
That's
the
right.
Fat kid jumped
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I can still remember Elberton State, my playground, uh-huh. that old teeter-totter that was there.
Yep.
50 years old, yeah. painted dark green with peeling paint.
They all were dark green.
So it was probably lead paint.
Peeling.
Now,
yeah.
we were not going to lick the paint. But splinters. So not only the bump, but the splinters and the look of
sure.
the thing.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Remember some of those unsafe carnival rides when the carnival would come to town? You wonder how those rides were held together.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago it was in pieces on the freeway. Now it's put right. together by some guy missing an arm and an eyeball, looking out for the police because he's wanted.
Yeah.
Now he's running your ride.
Yeah. Would you want to go on a carnival ride that was probably put together, like Don said a few minutes ago, maybe by some drunken carnies?
That was on America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, right.
Really, it was just a given. It looked pretty shady.
They were notorious for low safety and no seat belts, you know. High thrills, but they led to many injuries.
Now, another thing that I looked up, I was taking the subject of roller skating. So I looked up on Google, was roller skating dangerous in the 50s? And first of all, it told us roller skating was wildly popular in the 50s. Not just popular, but wildly popular. And you know what our skates were like. The clamp-on mm-hmm. skate key
mm-hmm.
that would come off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a sprained ankle.
Yep.
I don't know about too many broken ankles, but skinned knees.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, you'd be without a skate.
No helmets.
No helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carla, where I lived with the big old trees, this was quite common, that we just skated anywhere, including cracked and uneven sidewalks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So a big thrill of my life was three homeowners, us and two others, in a row got our sidewalks condemned.
Yeah.
And so we had to get new sidewalks. So Jackie Olson and I had three properties to skate on.
Mm,
all
boy.
Smooth.
Yeah.
So that avoided some of our danger.
Okay. And you couldn't even go fast in those metal skates. You can go as fast as you're almost walking on those things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a big skater, but I had a pair, and I tried it a few times, and my balance wasn't very good in them.
Just like now, you're not standing on your one leg.
Yeah, but I'm a lot older now. I probably could have done it back then. But I just didn't like them. They kept coming off because the sneakers
did.
Didn't. They had a clamp on in the front, and my sneakers
did.
Didn't clamp right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you go flying, you're skating me.
Yeah.
Get up. Wipe up the blood and get up.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids everywhere were skating in our front sidewalks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember as boys on our bikes, we would be chasing these trucks that was really emitting these poisonous vapors, like for killing mosquitoes and, you know, things like that.
Now, what were you chasing? Was it your bikes?
Bikes, yeah. Yeah, we were attracted to the dense fog.
Oh, no!
Yeah, yeah. And then the smell of that poison was very alluring, you know? So we would, you know, just follow the truck engulfed in this dense fog, breathing in all this poisonous vapor, not thinking anything of it.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld does a bit about the ice cream man. Uh-huh. And the menu on the back of the Good Humor truck, all the kids were looking at the menu. We knew we were going to get. And there was the exhaust right there by the menu. And you see all this carbon dioxide coming in there and just breathing it in while you're checking the menu on the Good Humor truck.
Yep.
I mean, that's the best place to put it, right back of the exhaust.
Yeah. And many of you guys will remember Racine's South Pier, where they had huge open areas in the center. You'd be walking on the pier, going to the end, and you have to bypass these huge holes in the center of the pier. And a lot of times, you know, you could slip easily and just go right in.
Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte here, talking about those dangers in the 50s and 60s. We got tons of them.
Oh, yes.
We say we are survivors.
Well, you just kind of blew over the hot slides, those metal slides you went down.
Yeah.
And in the summer you went down, your thighs were burned by the time you got done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, screaming. And they were just hot. That's where they built them.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Right.
And that new playground they have, the Lakeside.
They're wonderful.
Lakeview Playground. What a beautiful playground.
Oh, wonderful. Uh-huh. Great.
It is just, I'm looking at those things. I wish I can go on those rides.
Done.
Well, you should.
And you know what was great? It was packed with kids. You know what they were doing? Yeah. They weren't on their tablets. They weren't on their cell phones. Yeah. They weren't watching TV.
Yeah.
They weren't doing. They were on rides out in the fresh air.
And there you go.
Good idea. David Mack was one of the people who helped put that together.
Oh, sure.
Great.
Another thing we used to do was play on the train tracks. Now, back then,
you were such an intelligent.
That was like the movie Stand By Me.
We had back then, we had the high speed, passenger trains. We had freight trains going by constantly. Now there's hardly anything on our railroad here. But back then it was a different story. We would place pennies on the tracks. And then when a freight train came by, we'd pick it up and it'd be the size of a small pancake.
What a delinquent.
I know. Walking on the rails, you know, trying to get our balance, you know, on the rails, and like Don said, taking shortcuts to school. We did that.
I've talked about this before. The Long Island Railroad had a third rail. They were electric trains.
Yeah.
And the third rail was in the center of the two tracks going in each direction. You touch it, you're dead. I mean, so they had a piece of wood on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And going to school, we used to either hop over it or jump on the wood. It would bounce, and then you'd bounce over it.
Yep.
And I did that for 4 years going to high school because the alternative is walking a quarter mile down, a quarter mile back, and to cross at the train tracks where the crossing was.
Yep.
And so we used to just jump over, and I told you, one guy, Joe Cicino, going out for lunch, didn't make it. He tripped, and that was the end of that.
Oh, boy.
It was that quick.
Yeah.
It's still there, but now the tracks are raised, so you can't get over it.
Okay. Anymore. Now, if there was a boxcar in the way of going to school, we would just walk or crawl underneath it.
Hobo Jim.
Another thing we did was we rolled down a hill using a burning barrel. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Jim. Just go in a barrel and roll down a hill. Sometimes you end up in the street. Sometimes you crash into a tree. But, hey, that was fun.
what hills would you do that on?
Oh, down by the beach.
Oh, down by the beach. At least that was grass.
Well, sometimes.
At the bottom, maybe not. No.
My wife and I rolled down the hill several years ago by North Beach, and it hurts. It's not. It's not a fun roll. There are rocks in there and everything.
Are you returning to your childhood?
Well, we want to try it.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to switch us to a phrase, latchkey kids, big jump here. But again, looking things up here, it was the 70s where latchkey kids supposedly really became part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 50s and 60s, mothers were beginning to go to work. And so we know that children left at home. It might be experimenting smoking or having the stove on, things like that. But the one fact that astounded me about latchkey kids in the 50s, I had certainly never heard of this. Would you believe there were a sizable number, I didn't write it down, but of children who died, they were climbing into refrigerators. And so there is a Refrigerator Act of 1956 that says a refrigerator must be able to be opened from inside.
Also, if you put a refrigerator out from the, you have to take the door off the refrigerator if you leave it on your curb. Yeah. You can't have the door attached to it.
Okay, right. Another safety measure.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Jim, too, what about our famous shoe stores here?
Oh, my gosh. We talked about that earlier, those X-ray machines at our local shoe stores. You can get your foot bones inside your new shoes, you know, examined.
With maybe all our radiation. Bones are kind of liquid now.
Yeah, jeez.
Let me X-ray my eyeballs.
And it was so fascinating. You kind of step up 6 inches or so and look down on that purple thing.
You could see your bones in there, you know. And but they were phased out in the late 50s due to radiation, obviously.
Oh,
I remember going to Stilbs and Lowe's shoe stores, and they both had them. And that was an adventure. You know, you couldn't wait to put your foot in there.
I never saw those. They didn't have them in my shoe store.
Oh, really?
No, okay. I went to the safe shoe store.
Yeah. You went to Stride Right.
Stride Right. Yeah.
I think they were called a Braddock device, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
but
boy.
They're long gone.
Well, and then after our long list here, we even have to throw in and talk about some of the discipline we survived at school. Now, hard to believe. But at Lincoln School, we had a beloved principal. I'm sure everyone would agree. His name was Mr. Temme. And Mr. Temme, unfortunately, when I was in fifth grade, had a severe stroke. But up until that time, he was legendary. But there in Mr. Temme's office hung what was called the paddle. And boys would be sent to Mr. Temme to get the paddle.
Otherwise known as the Board of Education, right?
Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I've never heard of that. Oh. And then, now, I guess you've said, Jim, part of the nun's habit would be a ruler?
Yeah. They'd have them dangling on the side, just like in the Wild West with their six guns. You know, they'd have a ruler, and they would whip that thing out and slap somebody's wrist, you know, constantly. If you misbehaved.
I think we are glad that that does not continue today.
Yeah.
But again, it's that we survived.
We
survived.
Yeah, we
now,
learned.
Now, next time, we're going to actually continue with things like the pranks that we brought on ourselves or jumping dangerous things like jumping off the quarry.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot more to talk about next time.
Our dangerous lives.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we don't have some kind of lawyer on the air saying, if you had your foot x-rayed as a child, you may be entitled to compensation.
Habish, habish, and habish.
But yeah, we have a lot more to talk about, which we will next month. So as they say,
Not everybody survived these things. We're joking.
No.
But there are people that get seriously hurt by some of this stuff.
And that needs to be said, too.
Right.
That does need to be said.
You know, the other day, you know, my mother would let me ride a mini bike. Just, she did. All the kids in the neighborhood had it. You're not getting it. And probably for good reason.
Yeah.
And just the other day in Kenosha, some person riding some kind of mini bike in the street, it was not street legal.
Yeah.
Got run over by a box truck and killed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it happens. You're not supposed to be riding them in the street.
Right.
And you're not licensed. You don't know the street signs and stuff at red lights and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe my mother was right. She didn't let me do anything.
Yeah, that's right. One thing we'll be talking about was we used to play games in the street, you know, baseball, football. And I'm sure you did that, too. And when an oncoming car was coming, everybody would stop, let the car go past, and then continue.
Well, my father actually painted bases on the street.
No
kidding.
He did a good job of it, too. He had a home plate. He had first, second, third base. And we had him painted right on the street. And we used to play, and there was a lookout. Car coming.
Yeah.
And we all had to move.
Car
coming. Yes. We all had to jump out of the sweat, jump out of the way.
Sure. Yeah.
And another thing that we're going to talk more about is how, and we love this, really, but we could be gone all day long, walking, biking, all over the city, Didn't come home till the streetlights came on. And by and large, absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we could find ourselves like walking on stones on the river and slipping off, mm-hmm. or taking pears out of the neighbor's yard and being chased or something.
Another delinquent.
Yeah.
Stealing food out of the neighbor's yard, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know that about you, Carol.
By the way, there's no statute of limitations on that.
Okay.
I'm glad we moved out of the neighborhood.
We can come after you.
Who remembers riding the city bus when you were probably, maybe 6, 7 years old?
Oh, sure.
All by yourself.
Oh, sure. We like to do a whole session coming up on riding the bus.
Yeah.
It was part of our life, even as a kid.
I remember going to Manhattan when I was, 12 or 13. And I just was walking around the streets of, went through Times Square, went through all the areas there. Mom didn't seem to be caring.
Yeah.
And I just was walking around the streets of New York. I just didn't care. I went down to Greenwich Village for a couple of bite to eat. Didn't care.
How old were you?
I was about 12 years old.
12 years old? Yeah. Okay.
And the freedom that we did have. I mean, that's on a very positive note. The freedom, the not fear of crime and so forth. It was really a wonderful time to roam around.
Yeah, that's right.
That's my nice piece for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about some of the things we used to do as a kid. Even the stuff my mother didn't know about, but she didn't care. Like riding the bike in the pit down that steep thing, the bicycle falling over and over.
Yeah.
And if somebody got hurt, don't tell anybody.
First thing you say, don't tell mother.
Bones hanging out of his elbow. Don't tell anybody.
Exactly.
How about those fights after school? The kids would gather and avoid it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when the girls were fighting. It was a big crowd.
Oh, yeah.
They start tearing their clothes off.
Jeez.
Jim Basir, Carol G, and Forte here. We'll do this about a month from now or so.
Yep.
Okay. Part 4.
Yep.
Probably do part 18.
In the meantime, be careful.
Don't do anything we talked about.
Be careful.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.